1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want us to look down through this text of Scripture, and I'll point out a few things, and I will try not to keep you too long. Pulled up in the parking lot, my wife said, "Look at all the cars that's here." I said, "Yeah, they must have thought somebody else was preaching tonight." I don't know, but I appreciate you being with us. I know people have to work and things you have to do, and I understand that. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. And let's really be serious now and ask the Lord to help us tonight. And I hope that you've been praying for me, but I need you to pray for me now. The Lord would speak to me and through me. And then let's pray one for another that God would speak to all of us in a special way. All right? So let's ask the Lord to help tonight. Father, I bow before you, Lord. As unworthy as I am, I come in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, for helping us the last two nights in the preaching time. And Lord, I just ask you now one more time that you would help me. Please, Lord, I don't want to struggle through the course of the message. I need your touch. I need your liberty. And I pray, God, that you would speak clearly and powerfully to me and through me. And Lord, would you speak to every heart in this building? Lord, I am always aware that there are those in the middle of any service whose mind Satan attacks and who he tries to draw their attention away from what's going on even during the preaching time and throughout the service. But I pray tonight that you'd help every individual to gird up the loins of their mind, to focus on what you have to say, that they would receive the word tonight. It's not from me, but as from you. Lord, this is your word to us. Now please help us to receive it and apply it, and may we respond according to the way that you deal with us. And we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to begin tonight just reading down through this text of Scripture. I don't think I'm going to read all of the passage. But I want us to begin, let's see, I don't know exactly where to begin. Let's look at verse number 12. Let's begin in verse number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, 'Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body?'" Now let me stop there just a minute. You understand that the Lord is speaking to us tonight about the body of Christ. And I would say, I have to be careful using this term, but the term Catholic Church is talking about the worldwide body of Christ. Now, when we think of Catholic Church, we think about a religious system, a denomination, if you want to call them that. But the worldwide body of believers are the ones that make up that spiritual body of Christ. And that's what he's talking about in this passage. And all saved people are part of the body of Christ. Now, I'm going to take this passage, though it applies to the worldwide body, the entire body of Christ, I also believe that there is application to the local body, the local assembly. And I would like to apply this passage as it fits the worldwide body of Christ. So also I believe that it fits the local church, the local assembly. So if you're saved tonight, you are part of the body of Christ. If you attend this church and you're saved, you are part of this local assembly, this local body. And now I want you to notice what it goes on to say in verse 17 down through about verse number 20. Now, let's read it. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now, notice this phrase, hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him. Amen. That's important. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. You know what He's telling us here? All that are saved are members of the body, but we're not all the same.
That's right.
We're all different.
That's right.
Yeah. The eye, the ears, the hands, the feet are all different parts, but we're still part of the same body. The emphasis that I put in there a minute ago, you need to see. Now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased the pastor. That's not what it says. Don't let me get by preaching false doctrine. The Bible says God has set every member in the body as it has pleased Him. If you're part of this local body, I believe that God has set every member in the body as it has pleased Him. That's serious business. That means if you're here in God's will, under the leadership of God, He has sent you here. He has set you here as it's pleased Him.
Amen.
That's serious. We're all different. None of us are the same. I laugh because, I mean, we've talked about people down through the years. You say, preacher, surely you wouldn't talk about people. I don't mean in a bad way, but I mean, we're so different.
Amen.
And we just walk down through the list of the people that attend Welcome Baptist Church in Union, and we are so different. Even the members of our family, we're just so different. It's amazing to me how we can even go to church together. Because we're so different. But I mean, that's the way God set our body. I mean, my fingers are really different than my nose.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying? Now, this is simple stuff, but I've already told you this week, I am convinced that the problem in most of our churches is we're getting away from the basics.
Amen.
The reason we're not seeing God do through us what He desires to do, and in us what He desires to do, is because we've just left the basics. I mean, we've been preaching, like last night, about our habits, our praying, our seeking the face of God, our turning from wicked ways. Those are just basic truths. We don't need nothing spectacular. I could get up here and try to pull a rabbit out of a hat, but that's not going to help you 2 weeks from now. But if we get back to the basics of our Christian life and what God expects out of us, that is going to cause the body to function at full capacity. That's what I want to preach on tonight. Functioning at full capacity.
Yeah, it's good.
He begins to tell us how different the body is, but notice verse 21. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Can you imagine now the head with the nose mounted on the front of it smells those stinky feet and says, shoo, I don't want you around. Hello? But God has set every member in its place for a purpose as it has pleased Him. So we cannot look one at another, though we're so different, though sometimes people don't look at things like we do, sometimes they don't have the same mindset that we do, though they're not going to all, we're not always going to agree on everything, but guess what? Me and my wife don't agree on everything. And we've been married for over 25 years now, can you believe that? Think about that. I'll probably say more about this in a few minutes, but in this day, we are living in such a thin-skinned society. It's ridiculous.
Yes, sir. Right.
People get offended at nothing.
Yep. Right.
If you're going to serve God, you're going to have a hide like an alligator.
Right. Yes, sir.
Because if you don't, you'll quit before the sun goes down tonight, probably.
Right. Right.
I might even offend you before I get done. I hope I don't. But if the truth offends you, now I can't help that.
Yeah, that's right. Go ahead.
Now think about this. Our condition, what he is saying in verse 21, the eye can't say the hand, I don't need you. Verse 22, nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. That word more feeble, they're more easily fatigued or injured or affected by disease. I want you to think about this. Your brain is a feeble part of your body. It doesn't take much to damage the brain, the lungs, the liver, the spinal cord. I don't really know if this is true, but I used to be a lifeguard. I used to train lifeguards. And when I went through water safety school and all that, I was told that if you had your spinal cord laid out and laid the weight of a dime upon it, that it would do damage to it. I don't know if that's true or not. But I do believe it is sensitive. That spinal cord is very sensitive. But do you think your brain is necessary? You think your spinal cord is necessary? Your liver, your heart, your lungs, those things that are more feeble are necessary. And sometimes you've got folks in a congregation that are more feeble. They're more easily affected. They're more even disease and that sort of thing and fatigue. They're more easily affected by that. But God said even they're necessary.
Right.
We better get that in our minds. They're necessary. You may be here tonight and you may feel like I am one of those in the church and you may feel so weak and you may feel like things affect you too much. I feel like that. I get mad at myself over the things that affect me so easily. It don't take much to affect me, and I hate to admit that. God helped me to grow up spiritually. I'll deal with that a little bit later. But I want you to know you need to keep up the good work. You're necessary tonight.
Amen.
You're needful. Listen, everybody needs to set up and recognize that everybody else is important inside the body, and every member of the body of Christ is useful, and everybody that's a member of the body of Christ is needful to you.
Amen.
If you're part of that body.
Right.
He goes on to say, "In those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness." That is, I believe, what he's saying is there's parts of our body like our face that we don't mind other people seeing, but there's parts of our body that we adorn with clothes, and we, in that sense, I think we restore or put upon them more abundant comeliness. Or we put fancy clothes upon them, we put adornments over them to cover them, and that sort of thing. Then he said, "For our comely parts have no need, but God," here it is again, "but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh," that part which comes short. It means he's put a higher price or a higher value upon those things. And this word tempered is a very important word. It means that he has combined it into a structure. God has taken all of these different parts and he has combined them into a structure, into a body that is to operate and function at full capacity. I'm going somewhere. He begins to talk about this. Matthew Henry said, "Those parts which are not fit like the rest to be exposed to view, which are either deformed or shameful, we most carefully clothe and cover, whereas the comely parts have no such need. So should the members of Christ's body behave toward their fellow members. Instead of despising them or reproaching them for their infirmities, they should endeavor to cover and conceal them and put the best face upon them that they can." I like that. You know what? There's always going to be some people that we think are unnecessary. But God said they're necessary. Amen. And if God said they're necessary, we better be careful how we treat them. I want you to think about this now. God has put you together as it had pleased Him. Now I want to ask the question, why is it that God has set the body up as we have just got through reading? I believe the answer is that question. He says, God's tempered the body together, verse 24, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh. And here is a word, that. That word indicates He's about to give a reason for what he just said.
Right.
The reason that God has tempered the body together as he has and given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, number one, that there should be no schism in the body. Yeah. That means there'd be no division, no gap, no dissension. I've not detected any gaps or dissensions in this congregation this week, but I've not been around you very much. But I'm going somewhere in spite of that. I hope there's not any division in here. I hope that there's not any dissension in here or any gaps in the congregation, because if my body gets a gap in it, it doesn't function at full capacity.
Right.
It's hindered.
Yeah.
It's awful quiet. Don't get quiet, because then I think you're guilty. And I will preach on that a little bit if I need to. But I want you to ask you a question tonight. You're a member of this body? Are you united in purpose? Is this body functioning together, united for the main purpose, I believe, to glorify God? Everyone, every member of this body should say, yes, we are united for a common purpose. We want to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The second reason. He said that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. That word care is the word take thought, to be anxious over, to look out for, to seek to promote one's interest in providing for. You remember in the book of Matthew, it's used 5 times in chapter 6 where he says, take no thought over those things. But when he uses the word the same care, it means that you would do the exact same thing for one member that you would for any other member. Mm-hmm. That you would care just as much about the foot of the body as you would the hand of the body, as you would the head of the body. And there is a good application right there. Who is the head of the church? So we are to treat one another like we would treat Jesus.
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
That's why he set the body together like this.
Right.
One writer said, all decays of this affection are the seeds of schism. Where Christians grow cold toward each other, they will be careless and unconcerned for each other. I want to read a couple of passages to you in 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. In verse 14, it says this, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. We know that we've passed from death unto life. Why? Because we love the brethren. Because we show the same care one for another.
Amen.
That we would any other.
Amen.
Listen to chapter 4 then in verse number 20. If a man say, I love God and hate his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen?
Amen.
This commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also.
Amen.
You think God commanded us that? You know how that other people know that we're Christians? Because we love one another.
Right.
You know what will make an impact on this county and this community? When they see that the saints of God at Faith Baptist Church, they care one for another. They love each other. They're together. They're united. And they are caring and taking care of one another like they're supposed to be. That makes an impact on people.
Amen.
The love of God shown through your life makes an impact. You see churches, they split, they bicker. I mean, they'll split over which way you put the toilet paper on the wall. I think it ought to come out the front. Some people think it ought to come out the back. They'll split over everything. We built a church because we had a church fire. I went in there. I don't know much. I went in there and I said, look, I just want the whole congregation to know. So I said something to this effect. We're about to build a church and I can't make everybody here happy.
That's right.
I can't do it.
Right.
I said, there's no way that you take 100-something people and we're all going to agree on the color of the carpet, on the kind of pew, on the color of the wall, the paint on the walls. What kind of commodes you put in the bathroom? There's no way that could happen.
Amen.
I said, so you're just going to have to be mature enough. We're just going to work through this. We're going to do the best we can. We're going to try to make as many happy as we can. But if we don't make you happy, you're going to have to be mature enough just to suck it up and go on.
Amen.
I'm real nice, but sometimes you just have to tell it like it is.
Amen.
You understand that?
Amen.
You're not, I mean, this man right here, guess what? He is a man. I don't know him really well. I got to know him pretty good, I guess, going to Washington. Everything I know about him is top notch. But he's just a man. And he's going to make mistakes. And he's going to fail. And he's going to offend you from time to time. And sometimes telling you the truth offends you.
That's right.
I've offended my family by telling them the truth, and they've offended me by telling me the truth.
Yeah.
Sometimes the truth hurts.
That's right.
Yeah.
You don't see revival? You know what I think will happen when the church starts functioning at full capacity? Business is going to pick up. This is just basics. This is just New Testament basics. But we've got so far as a religious people in America from the basics of the Bible. No wonder we're seeing what we're seeing in churches in this day and hour. No wonder we're seeing the problems that we're seeing in this day and hour. No wonder we're seeing the lack of power. No wonder they got to bring rock bands and clowns and everything inside the... I started to call it the house of God that ain't.
Amen. That's right.
No wonder you got to do that. I mean, you got to entertain the people with something. If you don't have the glory of God and the touch of God and God moving, you got to do something. They ain't going to just sit there and look at you. Right. So you got to build a baptistry with a water slide that comes into it. God have mercy. Don't get me started on all that. You ask yourself the question, why do they need such as that?
That's right.
They're replacing something.
That's right.
They're missing the root of the matter. So God is interested in us caring one for another.